the hardest thing that you'll ever do is push record or start that one little thing. Every single one of us has a desire in our heart throughout the day, and we don't write it down. And when we don't write it down, sometimes we lose it, and then we look back and we say, oh my gosh, look at this great idea that somebody else did. And we had it, but we didn't write it down. We didn't sit in it, and we didn't give ourselves the permission to move through it. A question that my pops would always ask me is something that we're going to be going over today with the corresponding proverb, the corresponding day, 3,000-year-old wisdom, and we're going to base it in that. And that was, are you trying or are you letting? And he would ask me this question all the time. He would say, boy, there's only one question you need to answer in your whole entire life. And I was like, well, what is that, Pops? He said, do you want your best or do you want God's best? And if you truly want God's best, which I would always try and say to him, like, yes, I want God's best. Then he would give me a scenario and I'd be like, wait. I don't want God's best anymore. I want my best. That is, if it wasn't turning out the way that I wanted it to. But he said to me all the time that when we seek God's best, it will completely expand our mind to what is possible as opposed to the finite thoughts that we have. And so I would always tell him, I want God's best. And then he'd say, well, what if? And then he would give me a scenario down the line and I would be like, well, then I would want my best. And he'd say, no, boy, you already chose. Well, once we make that decision, then we have to go through this. Are we trying? Are we letting? Are we forcing things? I look at this on social media all the time and I watch trends happen. And then I watch people's brands that the trend doesn't go with the brand, but they're doing that thing to be able to get views or reaction from people. And it's funny because if they would just allow or let the process happen, as opposed to trying so hard. And we've seen this all the time. So there's a way that I've seen that this kind of works with, are you trying, are you letting? First we read, then we write, and then we speak. So if we read and we fill our mind, we fill our heart with wisdom, I'm using Proverbs right now as an example, the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day. It's 3,000-year-old wisdom. And if you read that, it fills up your heart. When it fills up your heart and then you start to write, the physical act of writing, you'll start to look at it and see it and you'll read it through your mind. And I would even suggest read it out loud. And then finally, because our heart is so full, we've added the action to it. Now we could speak to people. We could speak life. And that's nothing more than using their name and something specific that they did that was amazing. And I got so much life spoken to me yesterday, which was amazing. Now, before we hop right into Proverbs 12, which is the corresponding for proverb for the corresponding day, I wanted to do a little commercial. And if you haven't got the book, which is The Vibe, this one here is a national bestseller. It's about 117 pages. What it covers is the fact that it's not the energy that you bring into the room. It's the way in which people feel when you leave that is your vibe. And when you take your heart set, which is your belief system, your mindset, which is your intentions, and your skill set, which is your actions, you align those, it creates an irresistible vibe, and then it doesn't matter about your product, your offering, or your price, because it's the way that people feel about it, and it helps you to be able to work through those things, and it has five components in it, culture, process and procedure or system, productivity, innovation, and the ability to adapt immediately. And I find that when you score yourself in all these areas, it's absolute. I mean, you can rise to a completely different level. People are constantly asking me, how can I support the podcast? This is how you can. If you don't have the book, get the book. If you already have it, get it for your organization, for your team. And another way is have me come in and speak on The Vibe in your organization, which could work out amazing. Second thing is the merch. So we got the merch here. Let me show you. You got a whole thing there. Sweatshirts, hats, t-shirts, the whole nine, all The Vibe. We love you. The vibe is, again, not the feeling or not the energy that you walk into the room with, but the way that people feel when you leave. So it goes right in line with this, because how are you feeling about your situation right now? Are you trying or are you letting? And I can tell you this, most of the time, the way that you'll feel or people will feel around you when you're trying is going to be, there's going to be strife. There's going to be pride that comes along with it. And I'm trying to do this thing and I'm not getting the result. And I've seen this so often in myself. But when I'm letting it happen, my pops referred to it as relaxed intensity. And when we get into that relaxed intensity, things start to shift a little bit. So in Proverbs 12, the corresponding proverb, corresponding day, I'm going to run this down for you because there's the compare and contrast of trying and letting. And in verse 1, it says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. It's probably one of my favorite verses in Proverbs because it literally lays it down. God is gangster in this. And Solomon wrote the words, but it was inspired by God. And listen to that. Whoever loves discipline, or whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. So when you love discipline, you're letting God discipline you. And when you let him do his work, it's exceedingly abundantly more than you could ever imagine. And sometimes doing that work is just showing up. Sometimes we're weary. Sometimes we're a little bit tired. Sometimes we don't understand, like, God, why would you have me? Like when I came to the studio this morning, I thought, okay, what is it? And I was racking my brain over and over again, and I was reading, and it really wasn't popping out. And I was forcing so much because I wanted to have a message for every single one of you. But then God simply, quietly, very relaxed, intensely said, are you trying or are you letting? And here's three words, good, righteous, and noble. And it covers these in verses 2 through 7, verse 10, verse 12, verse 17, verse 19, verse 21, verse 22, and 26. And it hits on this quite a bit because what God is saying is like, good people obtain favor. That's verse 2 from the Lord. He condemns those who devise wicked schemes. No one can be established through wickedness, but the righteous cannot be uprooted. A wife of noble character is a husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is the decay of his bones. And it goes on and it talks about righteousness, nobility, and good. And all it is, guys, is that righteousness is right in the middle, and that righteousness is just being right with God. That means spending a little bit of time with him. And I came here to the studio to record again, and I was thinking, man, I'm going to blow them away. I got this message. I got that message. And God said, are you stepping in and trying it, or will you allow me? I just need you to show up. I need your attention. And then the coolest thing is God is the greatest PR agent in the entire world. You see, yesterday I got a message on LinkedIn from a guy named Scott Schmidt. And if you're out there, I want to thank you so much. He said, hey, man, I know you meet a lot of people, but in 2019, we met at a Sport Clips event that you spoke at. And I want to tell you that I really enjoyed it. I don't work for Sport Clips anymore. I work for Dutch Brothers and another company that has a bunch of different restaurants. And I just want to let you know that I submitted your name to the president of that company because I'd like you to come and speak on the vibe in our company. You see, God's the greatest PR agent. You never know where someone's from. You never know where they're going. You never know where you're going to meet up with them again. So just make a friend out of everyone and then allow God to do the work. It doesn't mean that you're not diligent, meaning that you do right work. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. But it means that you give room. This is what my mom said all the time. Like, give God room to bless you. Because sometimes in our rituals, sometimes in our religions, in our routines, we push God out and we say, if I just do this, then God, you need to show up. And he's saying, no, just show up. Just show up and allow me. Just let me do the things that will surprise you. Give me a little bit of room. And number three is, are we putting off immediate gratifications for future glory? And this is in verse 8 and 9. We'll hit these first. A person is praised according to their prudence, which is the thought of the future, and one with a warped mind is despised. Better to be a nobody yet have a servant than to pretend to be somebody and have no food. We've said it before, a big hat and no cattle. And a lot of times we're not taking thought of the future, right? And just little tiny things. Thought of the future, grab the book, read the book. It's incredible. It's not a theory side of it. When I say the book, the vibe, it's not a theory side of it. This is what we built a multi-million dollar company on. And then I turned around and I wrote the concept down as opposed to coming up with a theory and seeing if it worked. We actually reverse engineered it. So are you willing to put off immediate gratifications for future glory? In verse 16. In verse 16, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. In verse 28, it says, in the way of righteousness, there is life. Along the path is immortality. Are we willing to put off immediate gratifications for future glory? Are we trying? Are we letting? And then this is probably one of my favorite verses, which is Proverbs 12, verse 11, those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. Are you working your land? See, God gave every single one of us a gift, and I believe that that gift is meant to bless other people. It's meant to speak life to people. But the only way that we can speak life to people is if we read, fill up our heart. We write it down so we physically see it come out of us, and now it becomes our idea. When we read it, it's somebody else's idea. When we write it, it becomes our idea. And when we express it, then we give that gift to other people. Can you text someone right now? Can you call someone right now? Can you email someone right now and just tell them how awesome they are? Yesterday in practice, it was amazing because there's a little guy named Jax, and a lot of times he has a hard time paying attention. And yesterday, you know, sometimes I stay on him, I stay pretty strict with him. And yesterday, his hands were unbelievable. He didn't even have his gloves on, but he was catching everything. And I pulled him aside and I said, hey, you know, at the end of the practice, we all do this and we all speak life to each other. This is a seventh grade or sixth grade team, fifth and sixth graders. And I say, who you got? And they, you know, my son Maddox says, I got Cooper for all your receiver, for all your catches today. And then they go and they dap each other up and they speak life. And what happens is their countenance changed when they hear their name, when they hear something specific that they did. It's got to be their name. It's got to be specific. But I spoke life to this little guy named Jax. And I said, Jax, I just want to speak life to you, man. Because you did amazing today. Your hands were unbelievable. It was the best I've ever seen you. Great practice. High five. Bam. And he just lit up. Sometimes people are waiting for you to speak life to them because they're hanging on by a thread. So imagine if we read, it's somebody else's ideas, whether it be Proverbs or a book that you read. I would suggest Proverbs, corresponding proverb, corresponding day. The reason why is because I like to go to wisdom, like 3,000-year-old wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. That comes from the fear of God. When we get wisdom, it'll give us knowledge. That knowledge will give us understanding. Understanding will give us insight. Insight will give us discretion. Discretion will give us discipline. And discipline will give us strength. And that'll lead us right back to the fear of God or the respect of God. That's what I choose. But I want to fill my heart with that. I want to write it out. Then it becomes my idea. Now I want to speak that life to people. And that's when you start to see things happen at an incredible rate and more than you could ever imagine. Are you working your land? Verse number 24. So it says, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. Diligent is just right work. Are you doing right work? And how do we know we're doing right work? By spending time with God and asking him, what would you have me to do? And that is just letting him do his thing. Number six is, are you seeking wisdom? Are you seeking wisdom? In verse 25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Anxiety weighs down the heart. How many of us are ridden with anxiety throughout our lives right now? We are thinking like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? What am I going to do? And anxiety generally comes from trying and not letting. Imagine when you allow, when you just let God do exactly what he would have to do today. But first we got to read, right? It's his ideas. It starts to impart, starts to fill our heart up. Our heart, right, starts to overflow. And when we overflow, our words are an overflow of our heart. So whatever you're saying is an overflow of your heart. So watch your speech today. And when you watch your speech today, you'll be able to tell what's in your heart. And how to tell what's in your heart is what you've been allowing through your ears and through your eyes and through your senses, what you're surrounding yourself with. Sometimes it's the music that we're listening to. And the last one is this, is peace and joy. It's in verse 30. Oh, I wrote down verse 30. There's not even a 30 in here. when we look at this as far as peace and joy, what God wants us to be able to have is he wants us to be able to have peace and joy. It's actually in verse 20. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. Peace is the art of letting God do his work. And joy is falling in love with your current circumstances and allowing magic to happen. You see, my pops would ask me this all the time. Are you trying or you're letting, boy? I only got one question for you that you need to answer in your whole entire life. That is, do you want your best or do you want God's best? And in that situation for me, my answer was always the same. Oh, I want God's best, because I thought it's what I was supposed to say. But then my pops would call me to the table on that. And he'd give me a scenario, and then I would want to rearrange it. Why? Because I didn't get what I wanted. I could tell you this. What I want and what God has for me is two different things, and I would much rather have what God had for me. Are you trying or are you letting? Speak life to someone today. First, take the time to read his word, corresponding proverb, corresponding day. Write a letter to your wife, to your girlfriend, to your son, to your daughter, to your best friend, and tell them the specific things that they are doing, and do it on pen and paper. And then speak life to every single person you come in contact with and watch that magic happen. Are you trying or are you letting? Proverbs 12, the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day, 3,000-year-old wisdom, and it's applicable today. My name is Kelly Cardenas. And I'm officially off the hot seat. Peace, love, and soul.